It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. The Packer season continues on. And unfortunately, it continues to be not that fun for most fans. But tonight, we're going to have some fun. There were some fun things to talk about. We've talked about all the bad stuff. We've all been living all the bad stuff. Yes, the Packers lost again. Yes, they gave up record-setting rushing yards. Yes, their quarterback had a broken occlusion fracture in his thumb. And broke some ribs, even though they called it an oblique, and then he just came out in the media and said it's not an oblique, it's ribs, guys. Because he doesn't care what the medical staff says. He says whatever he wants to say, and he throws it where he wants to throw it, when he wants to throw it, to who he wants to throw it. But then he was replaced because he was so hurt, and he was worried about a punctured lung. And then we got to see Jordan Love. Jordan Love. And we got to see some good stuff from one young buck, number 10, Jordan Love, doing justice to the Matt Flynn number. Right, Ben? Didn't he remind you of Matt Flynn?
No. I would say Aaron Rodgers was not on the injury report today. So I don't know what happened to him on Sunday.
Cleared to play.
That was so terrible that he couldn't play. Oh, no. Oh, I'm so hurt. But now he's not even on the injury report. Not even on the injury report.
Two interceptions happened to him. That's what, maybe that hurt.
I don't know. But Jordan Love came in and looked pretty dang good. And I think he got a little scared. I think he was like, wait a minute. No, I better get back in there. Because can you name a quarterback that's been the backup to Aaron Rodgers that actually threatened him in playing time or like skill level ever in his entire career?
No, the only one that threatened him, I think, was Tim Boyle in like Euchre or something like that.
Well, it wasn't anything. It was Matt Flynn when he threw six touchdown passes against the Lions in the last game of the year, and then he got a big contract from the Seahawks and screwed over Matt Hasselbeck. That's the last time that anybody sort of looked good as a backup quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers. So he's scared. He's never had this. I mean, Brett Favre went through, you know, Mark Brunell and Aaron Brooks and Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, those guys. He had those guys were starters, right? In the league.
Pro Bowl. Every one of those guys were a Pro Bowl player at one point in their career.
That's true. Good point. Yeah. Wow.
And they brought their teams to the playoffs. They were good quarterbacks who were behind Brett Favre and then went on to other teams and became starters and Pro Bowl players. Aaron Rodgers hasn't had a single guy behind him who scared him ever once, which has allowed him to become the, you know, diva master of all that he is, you know, up to this point. And now he's got he made the mistake of coming out of the game and letting Jordan Love in and look pretty dang good. And now all the people are like, wait.
How sad is that?
You're telling me we got a guy who can throw the ball and also like won't be a diva baby the whole time? I kind of like that. So a lot of Packer fans are saying they like that now. And Rodgers is like, no, not so fast. I can still play. I'm not really hurt. Take me off the injury report. I know just a couple days ago I was concerned about my punctured lung, possibly. But now I'm good. I'm good. Let's go.
That's a fair point. But that's a really sad point that they've gone this long without a quality quarterback in camp with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I mean, you're right. Go over the year. Matt Flynn was probably the best one, right? His best backup of his whole time?
Yeah.
Was Matt Flynn, for crying out loud. And as soon as he got a chance to start, he got replaced in no time by Russell Crybaby Wilson. So what?
A guy who stinks right now. He's terrible.
Man. I mean, we could go through the list of Aaron Rodgers' backup quarterbacks, and they would rival the Bears' starting quarterbacks for that 25-year period. They were just as bad or maybe worse.
Yeah, except here's the difference. That's a good reason to suck if those are your starting quarterbacks. I mean, our quarterback just lost 7 out of 8 games in a row, and people are blaming everybody but him. I don't understand it. I mean, the Bears have sucked for years. That's the other thing. This whole, we've been waiting, like, I think it's been like 2 months where people have been like, if the Packers win one more game and the Bears lose, well, then the Packers will be the winningest team in NFL history.
Yep.
Well, they've been saying that for months, for 2 months. The Packers can't win. Luckily, the Bears can't win either, so we're in good shape. But guess what? This weekend, this is the weekend that matters. One of these teams is going to become the winningest team in the history of the NFL, not because they're good or they're actually winning games. It's because one of them has to win. I mean, I guess it could technically end in a tie, and that'll stay one more week of tie.
Wow.
The same amount of wins. But this is like the battle of ineptitude. You know, this is the battle of the crap. One of these crappy teams is going to make their team's legacy better because the other team is even crappier than they are. Is that a good thing to look forward to? I guess.
Well,
I mean, the Bears still suck. Well, if the Bears still suck, then the Packers suck now. You know, I don't know.
Except it's a little bit different territory, right? Because the Bears overhauled everything, like new GM, yeah. New head coach, a young quarterback, all this new coordinator, Luke Getsy, for crying out loud, all this stuff, right? So the fact that the Bears are struggling but have been in a bunch of games, like they haven't lost many games by a lot, right? They've been competitive a lot. And so it is a little bit on their side to kind of look at some of the positives. The Packers were supposed to be a win now team with all this money and these veterans and the, you know, forever Hall of Fame quarterback and all that sort of stuff. So it's a much different lens you're looking at the record and the struggles of the Green Bay Packers than you are the Chicago Bears. Giving a shout out, we're going to be joined by Jerry Riles from Chicagoland, the guy who invited me and us on his show a while back to talk about the Packers game on Thursday night. He's going to come on and give us some Bears perspective. And I'll tell you what, he loves some Justin Fields. Now, he's a little biased because he's also Ohio State grad, but he loves some Justin Fields. And, you know, Justin Fields can run all over the place. He can do what, if they let him, he can do what Jalen Hurts did last week, pretty much, right?
He's faster than Jalen Hurts. He's more scary than Jalen Hurts. He looks more like Kaepernick did in the playoff games against us back in the day.
Yikes, don't say that.
Like, Jalen Hurts had a lot of yards, but, like, they weren't that great. Like, he did a couple of juke moves here and there, but it's mostly just the defensive backs were not, they're playing man and not looking for him. And once he got past the initial line of scrimmage, well, there's nobody there. And he ran for like 30 yards. Well, that's nothing. But this guy, Justin Fields, he's fast. It could juke you out of your shorts in a second. He'll make every Packer look like Adrian Amos out there. Oh, snap. I better watch it. I'm in a mood tonight. I'm in a mood I'm ready for some young guys to play because I just want to see. I mean, come on, the season's over. 2% chance, my butt. It's over. I don't care. I don't want to see Rodgers, Amos, Preston Smith, you know, all these guys who, are they going to be on the team next year? Probably not. Hopefully Rodgers won't be, but whatever. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't want to see him. I want to see young guys who could get some experience and then be better next season. Are you getting ready to do the thing that I think was impossible to do?
No. Well, did you think it was impossible to have some plays and some players you were excited about? You don't want to talk about these guys you don't want to see. Then let's talk about some of the guys and some of the bright spots that we've seen lately. And one of the guys who has been a shining star at every chance he's pretty much gotten whenever they put him on the field is Keyshawn Nixon.
Yeah.
Like, can we just get 11 Keyshawn Nixons all the time? I mean, oh my gosh. Guy's amazing.
Well, we can get some Rudy Fords, too. You can have half Rudy Ford, Keyshawn Nixon. I'm good. But it's the same type of thing. It's like, you know, just like Douglas last season. These are guys on their last legs. You know what I mean? Like, they're guys who've been riding the bench for a couple years and weren't really starters and get a chance to play. And when they did, you know, they weren't in the system or weren't really doing the thing. And this season with this team, they got a chance to come in there and they're taking advantage of their chance. And that's the type of mentality that all Packers should have on every play.
Right.
And if they keep drafting guys who are passive, whatever guys, you know, or me guys, then they're going to stink forever now. But if they can somehow get these guys with the mentality of the dog mentality of, I don't care, I'm just going to get in there and mess it up or you know, make a play. Like, if I screw up, fine, but I'm going to make a play. If I see something, I'm going, I'm going to attack. That's Keyshawn Nixon. That's Rudy Ford. That's Christian Watson. That's, you know, guys like that. I mean, and here's the other thing. Quay Walker, I think, has shown that a couple times. And then I think he's gotten in his own head over the last week where he wasn't necessarily taking shots or making a move when he saw it, or maybe he didn't see it. I don't know. But There's times where he sees it and he goes, and there's times where he doesn't quite know what's going on. And Douglas also, Rasul Douglas, everybody who listens to the show would know he's my favorite guy. And I think he's been a little passive this year, a little slack-a-lackle. And that's not good, because last year he was the man.
So was that part... Is that part of the coaches, though? Is that part of the coaches saying, yes, like, hey, you can't take those chances now because you got to, you know, we need you to be the safe guy here. We can't get out of position on the play, even though that's when you made a bunch of big plays because you went with your instincts. It seems like there's a disconnect, right? Because he'll talk about Jerry Gray, and he'll tell him, and he told all these guys, when you see it, trust your eyes, trust your instincts. When you see it, go get it, right? That's what he's hearing from his defensive back coach, or he's said publicly, and guys have said that. But then is Joe Barry saying, "Well, guys, you gotta play it safe here. We gotta play 10 yards off on 3rd and 5. I mean, we just gotta do that." Disconnects all over the joint.
It seems like they're playing a scheme as if they had a bunch of Rudy Fords and Keyshawn Nixons. But unfortunately they got Jair Alexander and Adrian Amos who don't want to tackle anybody. Yeah. Or get in the way, or I mean, I don't know. Like, Amos looks like he doesn't even like want to be out there half the time. It's kind of scary. Like, either that or he looks so afraid. As soon as there's one play where he saw Jalen Hurts coming at him, and he was still 10 yards away. And instead of like trying to cut off the angle, Amos started running the angle backwards, like running straight back because he knew he's like, I have no chance of catching this guy. I'm going to run backwards. I'm going to do a 20-yard downfield type angle, like a 45-degree angle, and maybe I can catch him eventually, even though I got a 10-yard lead on him. It was sad. It was sad.
These guys, they need to be more aggressive for sure. Whether that's coaching, taking the aggressiveness out of them, or it's just the players aren't very aggressive, I don't know. Either way, you have to be aggressive on defense. So if you, as a Packers fan, watch the games, be honest with yourself. The best two defensive Packers these last several games have been number 20 and number 25. And those are guys that they just picked up off the scrap heap. And now they're literally our two best defensive players when you put those guys on the field.
Even though we have the highest, just so you know, the second highest percentage of our salary cap that goes into the defense in the whole entire NFL. Only the Chargers pay more money to their players on defense than the Packers do.
Wow.
Well, it's pretty sad.
We'll turn the tables and we'll talk about leadership when we come back. We all want to know and feel what love is. That Jordan Love is who we're talking about.
I really hate that song. Just so you know, I hate that song.
I don't like it either, but I was trying to find like all the ones where I can work it in.
I think that's Foreigner, right? Foreigner has a lot of better songs than that.
Not ones with in the
corner. I know, but that's their most famous song, and it's like, I don't know why, because they got like way better songs, like Hot Blooded. And
Evan, you want to chime in on this? You got
a couple other songs.
You got better Foreigner songs than that?
Man, we have a theme this evening.
I understand, I know that.
Sorry, but we got to stick with it, and this fits the theme pretty well. It's not about of the song.
I want to have the Allison Chain song "Love Hate Love" because it would describe the quarterbacks of the Green Bay Packers.
No,
Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers is the hate. That's me. I hate him, and then Jordan Love. So it'll be "Love Hate Love." See, so it'll be 10-12-10. Love Hate Love.
All right, we have leadership to talk about here. But before we get into that, someone has a special birthday. And actually, Eric asks, so from the first segment, is it safe to assume that there will be no fart gun salute for the birthday boy? And Eric, it is not safe to assume that, because we do have a very special fart gun salute to give out for a very special birthday today. And that is our fill-in producer from a couple weeks ago, Aaron Zommers. It is his birthday. Aaron, happy birthday to you, sir. So we even gave a special fart gun salute to an Aaron on Packer Outright Opinions. Just happened to be Aaron Zommers.
That's right. It will not be Aaron Rodgers ever.
Hey, let's talk about leadership. Also, here, a couple of quick things before we get into that. My mistake. You are listening to us on these fine stations. Ben, we have expanded. Packer Outright Opinions. I told you the people wanted it. The station has... Civic Media can no longer hold us back. They're like, fine, we'll give in to what the people want. You are listening to us on Devil Radio, WTTN, 1580 AM, 92.7 FM out of Madison. You're also listening to us on Lake Air, WXCE, 1260 AM out of Amory, Wisconsin. Also in Richland Center, you're listening to us on News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. And Oshkosh, WISS, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, air support. You're getting Packer Outright Opinions on all those stations here on the Civic Media Network right now, tonight. So you're welcome, everybody. Okay. Leadership, Ben. Leadership is an interesting thing, right? We talked a lot about our concerns about this team not having enough leadership. And we're also seeing that there's not enough leadership from the coach's standpoint either. So this is an organization, a football operation, we'll call it. Actually, I don't know. Do you think Goody and Murphy are good leaders either? I don't know. Maybe there is just no good leaders in this whole organization. And that's why you're seeing what you're seeing, right?
There isn't any.
Yeah.
There's no leadership. There's not a single guy on this team who leads, like, is able to pick up everybody and go. Nobody. There's some guys who lead with example.
Yeah.
And just being a good guy. Like, I think Devondre Campbell is a good guy. Amos is a good guy. Randall Cobb is a good guy. Like, you know, I think these guys are guys who are veterans who, you know, who have shown how to be a professional. But it's true that the there's no player that's a leader. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has never been one. He's always needed somebody else to come in and do that. And the closest thing we have is probably Douglas, who's only been there for a year and a half. And his play isn't as good. That's the other thing. If your play is not as good as what it has been in the past, it's hard to be a leader at that point. The only guy who could possibly be a leader maybe would be Aaron Jones. He's the only guy who's playing as good as he ever has. But he's also kind of a good guy. But he's more of a like a soldier. You know what I mean? Just like his parents were. He's more of a yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You know, he follows orders, doesn't necessarily lead the crew. So as even though he's a great guy, it doesn't mean that he's, you know, the type of guy who's going to be able to pick everybody up. I don't know if he's a vocal type guy. And I'm not saying like a rah-rah speech or anything like that. I'm saying, you know, sometimes leadership is, you have to be, there's two, three, four different ways to lead. It doesn't always have to be the same all the time. And like we talked about Rodgers being individual with certain players, like having lunch with them one day. Okay, well, that's awesome. But when you're making $1 million, you have to prove that you're the guy to look forward to. You're the guy who can grab a hold of everyone and give them a reason to believe and a reason to do that. And we'll find out in the song later on who maybe could be that guy moving forward. But I'm not sure if that guy's on the team, and it certainly isn't on the coaching staff. There's not a single coach who can do that.
Yeah, and ultimately, right, that's a huge issue, is Matt LaFleur. He's the guy in charge from the football side of things, from the product on the field. He has to, I mean, he would have needed to take charge. When you don't have that leadership from the squad, the team itself, then he had to take ownership and leadership. He takes responsibility all the time. But he's not making changes, right? He's not implementing the changes that are required to make improvements. He just says, well, put the heat on me because I'll be the good guy that takes the heat. And, you know, that's not good enough. That's not good enough to actually make something or fix something. That's nice to take the heat off of other guys, but it's not fixing the problems.
Well, I mean, we saw Dell Levitt do it one time. Right. He got mad after a game when after the game, Big Dog was like, hey, you know, everybody just stay the course and, you know, we'll be good. And blah, blah, blah. And then Dale Levitt's like, what are you talking about? We suck. These guys are not even doing the right stuff and we're playing like crap and blah, blah, blah. And he got all fired up. Right. That's the only guy who's ever gotten fired up on this team. And nobody plays like they're fired up other than a couple guys. We already mentioned the first segment.
Now, there are some positive energy guys that can kind of create a better culture, but there's some conflicting cultures within this organization too, because so many of these players and coaches have been undercut in the media by the biggest guy in the room. So maybe somebody else can help out. We'll find out. Be back after this. Well, some of Wisconsin believes in Jordan Love. Two of these guys on the show, I think we believe in Jordan Love. We'd like to see him play. Wouldn't you, Ben? Wouldn't you at home?
Yeah, I don't know if I believe in him, but I definitely want to. I'd rather see him out there. There's no doubt about that. And that's a catchy little tune by Huey Lewis and the News.
Wondering.
Or whatever it is.
Look, man.
We're
going to talk about the man, Jordan Love, number 10, here in just a minute. But before we get to that, I have to finish one thing on leadership. Okay. We talked about the Packers organizational lack of leadership from the players, the coaches, the whole organization. But in Wisconsin, there are some teams in sports that have incredible leadership. One of them is the Badgers volleyball team, who's kicking butt again. The other one that I see all the time is the Milwaukee Bucks. And no better example than last week when the Bucks played the Cleveland Cavaliers, playing like crap, got down. You know, Giannis was in the game early on. They were kind of in there. Then when Giannis was out, they got way behind. They were like 16 points, down by 16 points. Late in the second quarter, Giannis comes back in. And what do you think Giannis does? Does he start chucking up threes or like trying to go for get it all back in one shot because we're down so much? You know what Giannis does? Everybody else playing like trash? He just does what Giannis does. He goes to work. He starts busting his butt, flying around the court, making defensive plays, throwing down dunks, attacking guys at the rim, passing to his teammates.
How's that leadership? That's just being a good player.
No, because a lot of leaders in that case, you know, you don't even get it from the bench. A lot of leaders in that case, I got to get this back. You saw how many times we see it, right? In football, especially, guys are like, I got to throw a deep here. We got to throw. We can't. We got to abandon the run. We got to throw. We got to get back in this. No. Giannis just did what he does, and he did it with his mentality and attacking and bringing energy to the floor and the team. And threw down some monster dunks, got the crowd back into the game, got the other players back into the game, and stormed them back, and they chipped away at it, and they took the lead, and they won the game.
I think that has more to do with the fact that Giannis is a physical monster and a very good player.
And he works his butt off, and he charges his butt off.
Yes, all those things. But that's not, it's leadership, but not really. Thing you're talking, nobody else could do what he did. Aaron Rodgers couldn't do that. He can barely escape from a super fat defensive tackle, much less actually make a play when there's like a good pass rusher chasing him down. I mean, come on. You can't expect that from Aaron Rodgers. Well, so that's an unattainable position. Giannis is a once in a lifetime offensive, defensive court freak. You know, there's nobody on the Packers like that who's got, maybe Christian Watson might be.
Christian Watson is a monster.
Holy crap. That guy's unbelievable.
We're going to get into some of that. Evan, when you're ready, we'll do some sound from the coach. Oh, you are ready? Okay. We'll get to that sound here from the coach. I just wanted to talk about that because I thought it was an incredible display of them coming back. Anyway, the Packers need more leadership. But what they also need is more love. And their head coach, after Jordan Love got in the game, Ben, Matt LaFleur was asked about what he thought, about how Jordan Love played, we know how Christian Watson's been playing. And here were some of the comments from Matt LaFleur after the game, after Jordan Love got in and got some action.
did a really good job in terms of just all the mechanics and fundamentals and the rhythm and timing that were are so critical, I think, in terms of being successful in the pass game. And hit Jordan in stride, or Christian in stride, and you know, you could really see and feel his speed on that play. So that was an impressive play.
Wow.
Rhythm and mechanics and getting the ball on time with good mechanics? What's that?
Exactly.
I haven't seen that since 2012. That's why it was so shocking to watch that game. Like Aaron Jones, when he dropped that one pass that was through to him, he was like, wait a minute, it's a fast spiral coming straight at me. I haven't seen a spiral like that in a long time.
Especially right at my face, because yeah. Aaron Jones used to have to make like crazy catches way away from his body or lean way over to spin around every time. He's like right in his face. He's like, holy crap. Oh, went through my arms. Matt LaFleur had more to say when he was talking about Jordan Love, but those are the things that stood out. What else did Matt LaFleur say?
How he responded in the moment. And then when you watch the tape and you're always looking at the fundamentals, like I talked about, the footwork, the rhythm, the timing of it. I thought it was really good.
Footwork and timing.
Rhythm, timing, footwork.
Footwork, timing.
Ball on time.
Wait, what?
Being decisive.
That's how you play quarterback in the NFL?
Huh.
Well, we got a guy who won two MVPs who doesn't do any of that stuff. The last 2 years. I thought he was... Wait a minute. What does Matt LaFleur want in his quarterback? Does he want the timing and the rhythm and the passing and the offense? Or does he want the, I'm going to get off that guy's not open yet. Sack. Or does, throw out 40 yards on first down and 10, just because, even though the guy's double covered. Even though I could have dumped it off to the running back for a 5 yard gain on first down and 10. But let's throw a deep shot. Or let's get sacked and make it second and freaking 15.
Yeah. Lots of sacks taken this year by Aaron Rodgers. And a bunch of them when he didn't have to take them. If he would have been decisive and thrown and rhythm and timing and on the timing of the play, like what? That's why it's so confusing. And it's also really interesting because when Aaron Rodgers was asked after the game about what he's seen the most progress from Jordan Love, he said those same things. He said, well, his fundamentals and his footwork and his being throwing in rhythm and on time. So Aaron Rodgers, who never does that, once again talks about that. He is the ultimate hypocrite in the world. What else did Matt LaFleur say?
I thought, shoot, that whole shot he threw to Aaron Jones is not necessarily something that we're coaching. It's just he saw it, and he threw a heck of a ball. And the decisiveness and to see the hole right there, and it showed up on, I think, the first pass play we called with him, where they were in a cloud and Darius Slay was kind of played it like a trap corner. And Jordan got backside and hit A.J. Dillon on the check down. But, you know, for him to notice that in that moment and then to kind of see it on a similar type concept and go out there and fire the ball in there, I thought that was pretty impressive.
Now, I know Matt LaFleur was a little tired and can be a little boring sometimes. I get it. But you had to listen to that whole thing because he talked previously about all the things you want and you teach the guys to do. You want them to do the mechanics, the timing, the rhythm, you know, the ball coming out on time, all that sort of stuff. And this one, he talks about how Jordan Love noticed something and then rifled the ball to a spot after taking advantage of something he saw on the field and learned and made an adjustment to attack that spot on the next play. So that's some next level stuff right there to go along with the other stuff.
The other thing I would say on that is this. He said he went back and it was supposed to go to the Darius Slay side, but then he saw Darius Slay play in this trap corner, which means it's almost like he's waiting for that quick slant or whatever the play call was. And Jordan Love did not pull the trigger because he read the defense after the snap.
What?
Yet earlier in the game, Aaron Rodgers, after the snap, did not see the rookie, never played before, his safety jump the route on the tight end up the seam and threw it anyway. Didn't even see the safety. And the safety ran like 20 yards to intercept that ball.
A little
he did everything based on his pre-snap read. Rodgers did his pre-snap read and then went back and could not see the freaking live safety coming straight down to pick him off and threw it anyway. where Jordan Love went back on his first play of the game coming in, where he probably was nervous, took a look over to his right. He's supposed to throw the ball there, and then Darius Slay was there, and he was like, oh, crap, and he dumped it over to A.J. Dillon. And then later on, he remembered, oh, Darius Slay is playing. He's playing that slant. So I'm going to have, on this play, Aaron Jones is going to fake the slant, go deep, and I'm going to hit him on along the sideline with a perfect pass. Now, like I said, Aaron Jones was shocked it was a perfect spiral and he couldn't catch it. But that's besides the point. It just shows you how the difference between who is obviously being coached and taking the coaching and who's been there all year long, all offseason, working with the coaches, and a guy who hasn't been there and is kind of only half. He's got his toe dipped in the water, but it's not. He's not doing the plunge for the team.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
No, it's true. Darius Slay on his podcast had this to say. He says, as a defense, oh no, I'm sorry. Let's get to this part. He said how he was impressed by Jordan Love, right? He said the Packers have the green and gold have a bright, bright future with Love, quoting Darius Slay. He says, as a defense, when A-Rod goes out, we feel great, Slay said on his Big Play Slay podcast on Monday. That's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. So if he goes out, we have to go out there and really get after it. The D-line gets a little hungrier because they know with a young buck coming in, they can get after the quarterback since A-Rod makes a lot of checks and communication at the line of scrimmage. That's a hard sack. Young buck Jordan Love comes in and actually does a very, very solid job. Green Bay got a bright, bright future, like a bright one, because Buddy Love was slinging it.
And I'll say this. I've heard a lot of people talking about, oh, they were playing prevent defense because they had the lead. They were not playing prevent defense.
No, they weren't.
Especially
yeah.
on that play, that first touchdown to Christian Watson. That was a single high safety with a bunch of guys playing man coverage, and it was tight windows. It was just a great route by Christian Watson and a nice in-rhythm pass that hit Christian Watson in stride at full speed, and he was kept on that full speed and took off. Because Jordan Love knows that a 10-yard pass to a full fast speed guy in rhythm can take it 70 yards to the house instead of a stinking 40-yard bomb to a guy who's at the sideline who's going to catch it, maybe if it's a perfect pass, and then go out of bounds right away. You don't score points the Aaron Rodgers way, but you can score points the Jordan Love way.
And it's easier. It's easier.
Easier on the quarterback.
Right, 100%. Get the ball out to the playmakers. Like, that kid is a difference maker, a monster. And when he caught the pass, I didn't think he was going to outrun everybody, but man. And you're right. That defense they played was the same defense they were playing a whole bunch of the rest of the game. Just that Jordan, Aaron Rodgers never got Christian Watson that opportunity. Never threw him the ball at that point. In rhythm, in timing, where he could take off with it and outrun everybody on the field because he's that freaking fast. Holy cow. That kid was amazing.
He doesn't even look that fast. Like, he doesn't look like he's moving. He just is fast.
Yeah.
It's almost like Jordy Nelson. Like, when you watch him run, because they're so tall and with the long strides, they don't look like they're moving that fast, but yet nobody's catching him. So you're like, he's got to be going fast. But on TV, it doesn't look like it. I bet you when you're on the field, it probably looks like lightning speed, but but somehow he outruns everybody. So that's cool with me.
I did not expect that to turn into a touchdown, but that was pretty impressive. Really fun. All right. So Jordan Love impressed his coach, but Matt LaFleur also said it's the same sort of stuff we see in practice all the time. So the question is, Ben, we said it the other day, the Packers are kind of in this position where they have to pick up Jordan Love's fifth-year option regardless of whether he plays all the rest of the season or not, because they don't know if Aaron Rodgers would be back. And you're not going to just bring in some other quarterback who's going to learn the offense before Jordan and be better than Jordan Love probably in the first year. So you're picking it up no matter what. But they see a lot from him in practice. They like what they saw in relief in this game. I think, you know, the team believes in him. And maybe it's taken a couple of years for him to get to this point, but the team likes what they see.
Well, LaFleur was asked if they need to see Love in games to make a decision on him. And LaFleur, like, no, we see it in practice and all this other stuff. And I think it's more they don't want to show it. Which makes no sense, which means they want to hang on to Jordan Love for the future, is what they're... That's obvious to me. Goody and the guys don't want to show the NFL what Love can do, because if they wanted to trade him, they would get him out there and show everybody what he can do, right?
Right,
so
yeah.
So it's almost like they don't want that to happen, but we'll see.
That's a good point. I think... I like what I saw, and he was also throwing the heck out of the ball. I mean, he had zip on the ball. made some sideline throws, showed some athleticism, escaping stuff.
And I saw people complain about the Randall Cobb pass, like he maybe threw it behind him. And I'm like, if you look at the play, there's a safety coming from that side. If he would have threw it like Aaron Rodgers would, he'd throw him right into a safety, get smacked. Yeah. So he was trying to make sure that he could hit Cobb right where in the end zone. And then the D-back got there early, and it should have been pass interference. So it was actually a good play.
We'll be joined by Jerry Miles after the break. We'll talk some Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers. Be back. You're back. Welcome back in to Packer Outright Opinions, the Packer Outright Opinions show. And we do believe in Jordan Love. We believe in him. We believe he'll keep us together. We believe he should start this week, especially with a banged-up Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers has been cleared, and he will be back in the game. However, David Bakhtiari will not be there, Ben, because David Bakhtiari had an appendectomy and is out for Sunday's game. So, once again, David Bakhtiari not available. But, well, they'll figure
raking
it out.
Raking in the cash.
Rick Bears
the
also cash,
chugging the beers, but not playing on the field. That's nothing new.
The Bears also had their own quarterback concerns, and we bring in our Bears correspondent Jerry Riles from the Rewind Sports 60 on the line to give us a scoop on the Chicago Bears. Jerry, how are you tonight, man? Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, man, I'm doing fantastic. Jason, you guys are awesome as usual. But an appendectomy? Oh my goodness! Are you kidding me? That's some breaking news stuff, huh?
Yeah, it Bakhtiari keeps finding his way off the field. We're not sure when we're going to get that return on investment, but we'll see.
Yeah,
it was Rodgers
looking
to me, but you know.
No, hey guys, thanks, and it's our second meeting with the Packers. Guys, I'm hearing some dial tones or something. Are you hearing it?
I'm hearing a little click there. No interference though.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know where it's coming from, but at any rate, we're looking for a second matchup against the Packers, and we know what the first outcome was, and I think the Bears aren't looking forward to that happening, despite the struggles, despite the injuries, despite the losing streak that we're currently on. They're bringing back Justin Fields, who was out last week due to the shoulder injury, and he went through practices today up at Hallis Hall in the Chicagoland area, and for all practical purposes, he's given the green light to get the start. And actually, the Bears have no choice, because Trevor Siemian, as you heard, went down with a oblique, and so he's out the rest of the year. And of course, Nathan Peterman is not going to be playing and starting for the Chicago Bears. So Justin Fields is ready to go, pretty much has the green light to go, and he's itching to get back out there on the Soldier Field turf and try to even up this series one game apiece, because the first time around when the Bears lost, he was highly, highly and visibly upset and angry with the loss. And he looks at the loss, guys, similar to the biggest game in sports, and that was last week at the Horseshoe in Columbus, where the Ohio State Buckeyes got their brains beat in by that team up north. That rivalry, as you know, is one of the best of all of sports. And for Justin Fields, now playing in the NFL, looking at the Bears-Packer rivalry, that's what the measuring stick is for him now. And he's looking forward to getting out there and showing that the Bears fans, as Roger said, they own the Bears. Justin Fields wants to change that around. And you can bet believe he's going to be doing a lot of running on the turf over at Soldier Field on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Jerry, there's a lot of things to this matchup and a lot of history on the line here, too, with, the overall record. Best record in the NFL, some of the other things and the history there with Rodgers speaking out last year. I'm sure, though, that Justin Fields was just even a little bit more motivated to get back for this game after he watched Jalen Hurts run all over the Packers defense last week.
Yeah, you know, you're reading my mind for sure. I'm watching this game, and Jalen Hurts just had a field day against your Green Bay Packers, rushing for 157 yards, and of course, throwing for another 153 yards, and putting himself basically in the record books regarding quarterbacks playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I thought about Justin Fields, and I said, look, this Justin is itching to get back out there on the football field, because he's watching Jalen Hurts just run through the defense of the Green Bay Packers. You bet believe that Justin Fields feels he can do the same thing, and it's itching for a scratch to get out there to prove that he's capable of running all over this Green Bay Packer defense.
Hey, Jerry, update us on, I know just like the Packers team this year, the offensive line has had a lot of moving parts, a lot of guys in and out. Update us on where your offensive line is. Do we have any hope to beat up your offensive line this week, or are they solidifying
a
little bit?
Well, you know, it's always a hope to beat up the Bears offensive line. And we like to say it's a MASH unit because it's a bunch of moving parts. I look at it as moving chairs on a Titanic. You're going to it's just a debacle. And that's one thing that Ryan Poles, the GM for the Bears, is definitely going to have to work on during the offseason, is trying to shore up the offensive line because of the injuries, because of the lack of, and I don't want to say lack of talent, but lack of playing ability at the highest level. He's going to need to scour the college ranks and try to find himself at some of these Power Five programs, albeit Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, and try to find him some big hogs that he can draft, because we're collecting all these draft picks, and I think that's the first area that the Bears need to work on during the offseason. So, yeah, offensively, it is a MASH unit. And, you know, we can go on and on about the offensive line, but, you know, look at the players at the skill position. Khalil Herbert is out for the rest of the season due to his injury. We saw what happened with Darnell Mooney going out, supposedly Justin Fields' primary receiver, who hadn't really done much this season. It's just a MASH unit, and we're hoping that David Montgomery can take up some of the slack as far as the running ability is concerned. But as far as running between the tackles for this Bears offense, that's going to be challenging, no question about it. Although I think you guys ranked 31st in team defense.
Rub it in.
No, I'm not trying to rub it in, but I'm saying to you that I think if the Bears try to run the ball between tackles, it's going to be a long, challenging day for both David Montgomery plus, you know, your defense. So I think offensively what the Bears are going to try to do is manipulate the perimeter by getting Justin Fields out and trying to stretch the field so that he can get some running lanes and exploit that defense and see if he can get some points on the board. And the interesting thing about it is, you guys well know, prior to last week's debacle for the Bears, the previous five games prior to that, we were averaging 44 points a game, which is unprecedented as far as Chicago Bears offense is concerned. Last year, we could barely score 21 points
sure.
a game. Yeah, so, you know, I think the Bears are looking to try to it's all going to fall on the feet of Justin Fields and what he's
doing. Hey, Jerry, we're about wrapping up the show here. What do you got for a final score here? You tell us, who's going to win and what's the final score?
Well, I'm not really into the predicting game because if I were, I'd be in Vegas. But I like to see the Bears get this one. I think it's going to be a nip and tuck, and it could come down to 31-28 Bears, only because they're playing at Soldier Field, and hopefully they can get to Aaron Rodgers with those sore ribs.
Hey, Jerry Riles, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. That's Packer Outright Opinions. Guys, enjoy the game. Bears-Packers, Sunday at noon.